So my story really begins when I was 5 years old. I was a middle-class kid growing up in Oklahoma with an acre out the back door when my grandfather came to live with my family. And I loved helping my mom and dad take care of him, you know, doing little things like bringing him a bowl of cereal, keeping him company, reading to him. We spent a lot of hours on the front porch, talking, swinging, laughing, watching the people across the way in the park. So he really was my friend. Then one day, I was glowing from having just turned 10. I was hanging out, watching some TV, and I heard my grandfather coming down the hall. And I knew he was going to go out to the porch and sit for a little bit, so I hopped up, hoping this time to just hold the door open for him that day and go back to my show. But it didn't quite work out that way. When my grandfather pulled my arm and motioned for me to sit with him on the porch swing, I didn't think anything of it. It was a nice day. I thought, oh, he just wants some company. All right, I'll not watch my show. I'll spend time with him. And I've always been a snuggly person. Even at that age, I still love to crawl into the chair with my dad and watch game shows together. So when my grandfather put his arm around me, I just snuggled in close where I could feel his fuzzy orange and brown sweater. That day was the first day my grandfather molested me. I remember being terrified, frozen, confused. I remember thinking that he didn't realize he was touching my breast, and so I shifted my body, but his hand returned. This was just the first day of many that my grandfather would violate our friendship and rob me of my peace. And it went on for months, and it got worse. But no one noticed, and I certainly didn't tell, because I just knew I'd done something to cause this. So to everybody else, I was the same old Rachel, you know, laughing, cracking jokes. But in my room, when I was alone, I was now dealing with all of these confusing new thoughts and feelings that had become a part of my everyday life. Thoughts like, I deserve this. It's my fault. I'm ugly. I'm worthless. When my parents discovered what was happening, they immediately removed him from our home, and I'm thankful for that. But unfortunately, that didn't make the thoughts stop. You know, my mind was still going. You made it happen. No one loves you. Why bother living? You must have liked it or you would have stopped it. And while my parents wanted me to see a counselor and even booked me to see a counselor, which, you know, probably would have helped a little bit with some of those thoughts, I was not having it. I said, forget that. I'm not talking about this. I just want to pretend that everything is okay. So I buried my head in the sand, and I tried to be a, like, normal little girl. And that's really what I did up until my 20s. I was pretending, for the most part, and hiding the fact that I was full of fears and doubt and no self-worth. I was confused as all hell about relationships and trust and sex, and I felt alone most of the time. I really believed that no one could understand me. When I did reach my later 20s, I was kind of fed up and feeling that this way of life was not working. And so I did all the things that we do when we want to get better. I talked to friends. I saw a therapist. I read books. And by my mid-20s, you know, things were getting better. But for the most part, I felt like I was still going around and around the same mountain. Lots of anger and acting out and shame and not knowing how to set boundaries. And I'll tell you, I reached this place in my late 20s. Oh my goodness, I was going through a divorce. I was living in a new city with no friends or sense of community. And I was still in pain and feeling ashamed as a result of the abuse that had occurred 16 years earlier. And man, I realized, I cannot keep moving in this same direction. I have got to do something different, or I'm going to live out the rest of my life feeling alone and broken and miserable, merely surviving. And that's when I had my aha moment. I thought, you know what? I don't want to just survive my life. I want to live it. I want to enjoy it. And while I knew now why I did some of the things I did, what was getting in the way of me actually living my life and enjoying it was that the most critical question that I needed answered was not being addressed by any of the therapists or groups or anything that I was involved in, which was, what do I actually do about this? You know, can I stop talking about this now and do something about it? The Beyond Surviving program became my answer to that question. It really is the culmination of everything I've learned along the way through experience or completing my master's degree in counseling psychology, and probably most importantly, studying neuroscience. And to tell you the truth, I am really glad I had so many of those difficult experiences of not knowing my own self-worth, not knowing how to manage my emotions, of not knowing what I finally had to do to transform my life and make the kind of impact deep down I knew I could. I'm grateful that all of the investing in myself, all of my experiences, and all of the hardships are finally paying off, because I get to teach people all over the world and work with wonderful men and women and see them create beautiful, amazing lives and know that I had something to do with that. It's been absolutely amazing to consistently experience the transformation I see in my clients who finally understand that they do not have to remain mired in the past, that they are not defined by the abuse. For some, it's been about releasing shame and guilt so they can finally get their own needs met. And for a few, it's meant finally starting the business they've always dreamed of. For others, is learning to trust and fall in love again. So today I am honored to share the discoveries that have made a huge difference, first of all in my own life, and then in the lives of others, and certainly to be a part of your healing and your journey.